Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone. I hate to interrupt some really good fellowship, but it's time to get started. For those of you worshiping online, God bless you. We're grateful that you would choose to worship with us this morning. Well, the dog days of summer continue, right?
Yes.
Usually August the 1st is about when I start thinking about that, and my gosh, they started back in May, so we're 2.5-3 months into this. But you know what? God's still good. Still good, been incredibly good, incredibly gracious, incredibly kind. This morning, the Korean Methodist Church begins to worship upstairs at 11, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And that made me think about the book of Revelation when the scripture talks about those worshiping in heaven from every tribe, people, and tongue. And so we get to experience that this morning as we worship downstairs, as they worship in Korean upstairs. It's a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. Amen. I just love it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his grace and mercy to flow this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day. God, I thank you for allowing us to worship here in this building. And the significant thing about us worshiping here is that you're here. It's not about the building. It's about you. And I just pray blessings on the Korean Methodist Church worshiping upstairs this morning. God, I pray that they just sense and feel, God, the presence of the Lord in this building. Would you allow us to do that as well? So, God, reveal yourself to us on a deeper level this morning, and we will give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. If you're able, let's stand and worship the Lord together.
Good morning, church. It's good to see you this morning. Let's lift our voices up at one and praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for his love never fails us. celebrate the fact that the love of God will never fail. And so even though I fail all the time, I know God is faithful and He will never fail. This is one of my favorite songs, and I really think the reason is because Romans 8:28, for all things work to good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose, is one of my favorite verses of all time. So this morning, man, maybe you're coming in here with some failure or some tragedy or something that's a trial you're going through right now. I want you to bring that to God. Be honest, be open, and allow Him to bring new life even through what seemed to be a trial and a tragedy in your life. The love of God can bring new life even into those things. So bring those things forward as we worship this morning. And then allow Him to heal us. And then when we leave this place, I hope we're filled with excitement and we want to tell everybody we see how amazing Jesus is.
I love to tell the story of amazing things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love.
Savior Jesus Christ, a round of applause this morning. All right, you may be seated, but children, y'all stand up or keep standing and come forward at this time for your children's message. Man, I sure messed something easy up, didn't I?
Hurry up. Hey, dude. All right, good to see y'all. Hey, guys. Oh, did you lose your shoe? That's all right. All right. Good to see you, everybody. Come on. How are you doing? Making your way? You want to come up a little bit more? You can come up. No, you're good? All right. So how's everybody this morning? Everybody good? Hey, yeah, sit right here, Mr. Ollie, right there. All right. Well, I'm excited to be here. Are y'all excited to be at church today?
Yay!
Yay! All right. So today, I want you to think about your friends. Who has friends? Raise your hand if you have friends.
Everybody? I have a lot.
You have lots of friends? Good. I have friends.
I have like 10 friends.
You have 10 friends. That's a whole lot of friends, Laura. That's right. So what are some things that you do with your friends? You can tell me. Oliver?
Play.
You play. What else? What else do we do with our friends?
Play.
What? Play?
Watch TV.
Watch TV? Okay. Yes. Talk to each other. That's right. Do you enjoy spending time with your friends?
Yes.
It's so much fun, isn't it? Yes, it is. And every time you spend time with them, you get to know them a little bit better, right? Yeah, so have you had a friend for a long time? I have a very good friend. We've been friends since fifth grade. That's a long time for us to be friends, right? Huh? No, she didn't go to our church. She goes to a different church. But we've been friends for a long time, and I can still call her up and tell her everything and talk to her about stuff. It's great to have friends like that, isn't it? Yeah. So, and as you were talking, one of the things that you do with your friend is you talk to them, right? So what are some things that you might talk about? You talk about maybe some happy times, some things you're going to do, places you're going to go, and maybe your vacation, right? You talk about vacation a lot. That's right. So next question, do we need friends? Do we need friends? Yes, we definitely need a friend. We need friends. So do you know that I have another very, 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 very special friend, and I talk to him all the time. Do what? And since I was born, that's right. And do you know my friend can be your friend too? Do you know who my friend is? You know him. Jesus, that's right. Jesus is your friend. Just a minute, Ollie, okay? Okay, okay. Just a minute, okay? In just a few minutes, okay? All right, Jesus is my friend. Is Jesus your friend?
Yes.
He's everyone's friend. Do you know Jesus is with us all the time, and he's everywhere we go. If you go to the grocery store, is Jesus there? If you go to the playground, is Jesus there? If you're talking to your friends, is Jesus there?
Yes,
he is with us all the time. And that we can talk to Jesus about anything. We can talk to Jesus if we're happy, if we're sad, if we're excited. We can tell him what's going on for the day. We can do anything. He wants to hear from us. Do you know that he wants to hear from you? Do you know he cares about you?
Yes,
that's right. And do you know that Jesus has lots of friends, not just us? He has friends all over the world. And do you know what those friends are doing? They're talking to him too. So people talk to Jesus all the time, not just one person at a time. Maybe 10 people are talking to him, or 20 people, or 1,000 people are talking to him at one time. Do you think he hears our prayers?
Yes.
He does. He hears each one of us, even though there's so many other people talking to him. He hears our prayers because he loves us and he cares about what's going on in our lives. And so it says in 1 Peter 3:12, the Lord watches over everyone who obeys him, and he listens to their prayers. God is telling us that he hears each one of us, no matter how many other people are talking to. He cares about what's going in each one of your lives. Isn't that exciting that he cares so much what's going on? Because sometimes we have a lot of things that are going on that are sad and are hard, and he cares. Or if we're excited, he just wants to talk to us. He wants to be your friend all the time. So this coming week, or in this coming days ahead, can you spend a little bit of time with Jesus? Yeah, just a little bit. You can read his word, you can pray, and just tell him, good morning. Do you ever just wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Jesus?
No.
No? Do you know you can do that?
No.
Good morning. Thank you for this day. I'm excited to see what we're going to do today.
That's not for praying. I never say that.
You never say that? Well,
I never say that.
But you say
every single morning I wake up and I can't.
Okay. But do you say thank you to God for your food?
Yeah.
Yes, you do. So you can say every morning you get up and say, thank you, God, for this day. I'm excited for what you're going to do today. So can y'all try that for me in the next couple of days? All right. So remember that Jesus is your friend. He hears you. He listens to you. He is with you no matter what is going on. Isn't that is so exciting that he loves us that much, that he's always with us. Okay. All right. Let's say a prayer. What? He feels like he's more than a dad than a friend. You're absolutely right. So let's say a prayer. Dearly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that you are our friend and that you listen to us and that you love us so much, and we thank you that you are always with us. Bless our time as we go to Children's Church today. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go this way. And we're going this way. Just...
Good morning. So, would you stand with me as we recite the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So, in early service this morning, when I led prayer time, I said, you know, obviously with me being a youth pastor, the summer has been on my mind a lot, because summer we completely shift gears and we travel and do camps and mission trip and everything else. And so one of the things that really is definitely on my mind, though, is the fact that this past week was our last camp, and so we are done with camp season for the summer. But with that came a lot of incredible opportunities for kids to have encounters with Jesus. And so just between the two camps that our students went to, not counting the elementary camps, middle school and high school camp, there was somewhere in the realm of 25 to 30 salvations, which is amazing. And then there was another 20 or so that believed that they're called into ministry. And some of them were just like, I am going to do this. And others are like, I feel God calling me, and that's okay. And so sometimes we don't get the whole message at once. Amen. But it always brings opportunities, and I love going to camp for that reason. But then I love coming home from camp too. And this is kind of where I'm leading for the whole focus on prayer today, is now it's our turn. We have these kids that have come home, and like we had Caleb Logue get baptized just a couple Sundays ago. That happened at camp. God moved in his heart and in his spirit, and he was like, I want that. I need that. And then not only did he profess it here, but he proclaimed it here as well. And so with that, it's a great opportunity, but that also means that it's our job now as the church to step up and say, hey, we do our part as a church to walk alongside you, to be with you, to encourage you on your walk, and to teach you all the places that we messed up. Amen. So with that, it was one of those things that I kind of went that direction for the prayer time at first, but then I don't plan these because God typically tells me things if I don't plan it. And we were singing, I Love to Tell the Story, just a second ago, and one of the verses really, really caught my eye, and I was like, ooh, that's good. And that's where I think we're supposed to go. It says, I love to tell the story for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Amen. There's not words that should come after that, because that's such a powerful statement right there. Not only are the ones that don't have the gospel wanting to hear and aching to hear the gospel message, but we are too. And so we get reminded that there's a God that loves us, a God that redeems us, a God that saves us from whatever we're in. And it's nice to be reminded of that every now and then, right? So I believe that's our calling to these students that have come out and made that claim. I think that's also our calling for all the people that have come to know Jesus and been baptized that are adults in our church as well. The road's not over, the road's just beginning. And it is not our responsibility to say, and of course there's not one up here, it's not our responsibility to say, hey, here's a Bible that has everything you need in it. Good luck. We're called to walk with them. And so this is my challenge to you as much as me. Let's not leave them empty-handed this year. Amen? Because we know the fact that the Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's something that's learned over time, right? We get better and better at that as we get older and older and more experienced in the Word of God. But some people, when they first hear that, it's like, well, you don't know what I did. You don't know what I did or what I went through to get here. And we got to be that constant stream of encouragement saying, no, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And there might be some well-ran Christians that need to hear that this morning too. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the fact that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We thank you for the fact that you are the God of deliverance. You are the God of salvation. You are the God of peace and comfort. You are the God of us, our God. And it's such a grateful opportunity that we get to walk alongside you and minister to people that come to know you for the first time. But God, I pray that we do not fall short in our efforts, regardless of how they are needed, because God, you give us this opportunity, and who are we to waste that chance? Allow us to walk alongside the ones that have given their lives to Christ. Allow us to walk alongside those and celebrate with those who have publicly declared baptism. Because God, the work is just beginning, and we have the privilege to see that work live itself out over the rest of their lives. Be with us. Remind us the fact that not only do they make that decision, God, we still daily make the decision that you are Lord. You are all we need. And there is nothing in this world that is too great for you to overcome. We thank you for the fact that you love us. We thank you for the fact that you are near to us always, even when we turn away. And we are thankful for all of the teaching and the practices that you give us throughout all of Scripture, teaching the crowds, teaching the disciples. We thank you for the opportunity that you taught us how to pray. And as we repeat that prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I love to tell the story, church. We have a challenge to do so. As we move into worshiping a little bit more, we have offering boxes. I almost said offering plates on the rail, but they're not there anymore. We have offering boxes at each door. And then also, if you follow the screen, you can give online or by text to give.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope.
vacation the first week that we had community group in the summer, and my community group did me dirty, and they said, this last week you're gonna have to lead because you weren't here. So they volunteered me while I was gone. Can you believe they did that to me? But anyway, I challenged them this week to put this scripture. I have it right here on the front of my phone so I could see it. And it's 1 Corinthians 3:16, and I challenged them to put that up somewhere where they could see it every day. And this is an amazing truth, and what it says is, don't you know that you yourself, every one of you, don't you know that you are God's temple? And God's Spirit dwells in your midst. See, I think sometimes we don't think a lot of ourselves, but God thinks a whole lot of you. So much so that He said, you are going to be the house of God in the earth. And church, we are the church together. And you are the temple of God. The very Spirit of the living God is inside of you. And this song says, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. But I think even more than that, it's the Spirit of God inside of us, through our spirit, through our soul, through our heart. And we pour out our praise because God has made us a temple of the living God. It's a miracle. It's amazing. It goes beyond explanation. But I want you to know, God thinks a lot of you, so much so that He wants to dwell inside of you. And He calls each of us to be temples of the living God. So this morning, let's praise from the depths of who we are. Let's know that God has made us temples of Himself, that the Spirit of God is in our midst. Let's pour out our praise this morning. Let's tell Him how great He is.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will see the great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will see the great time.
can hardly speak. Can be so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call.
Good worship. Thank you, Cody and team. Good morning again. Good morning again. Once again, for those of you worshiping online, God bless you. If you want to register your attendance through our app, that would be helpful for us to know who might not be able to connect with us during the summer. Also, you might want to check your bulletin. There's a couple of events that are coming up that you might be interested in. Also, if you're not up to date on our denominational issues, you can find a section on the app that will let you know what's going on. There's actually a couple of video links there that you can see past all church meetings, so be sure to check that out. Our pastor is on vacation. He and Cheryl are gone, much needed. I understand that they're having a good time. I've communicated with them several times this week, and they're enjoying their time away, not away from us, but they're enjoying their time away. You know, Jeff thought he ended the one series last Sunday, and since he's not here, I thought I would just extend that 1 week. No pun intended, but I'm adding 1 week to the one sermon series. And today the sermon title is One Love, One Love. You know, when we think about love, I think a lot of things come to mind. There's this love that is shared between a husband and a wife, the intimacy that's shared there. Carlene and I, man, we love each other. We love each other. We've been married almost 43 years. We dated 5 years prior to that. We started dating in the mid-70s, and I told you guys before, the 70s is a pretty fuzzy decade for me, so I'm not quite sure how we connected there. I must have been quite the catch or something. I don't know, but anyway, we were dating, and then we got married. No, I just joke about that. We loved each other from the start. But there's this intimacy that her and I share. We're in love with each other. We love our kids. We love our granddaughter. We love my brothers. We love her sisters. So there's this love that's wrapped up inside the family unit. We also say that we love things, pets, for example. We love our cats. We love our dogs. We love our llamas, if you're into llamas as pets, or baby goats or something like that. But, you know, there's an emotional attachment there to our animals. So we've lost a couple of pets in the past, and that was painful. So we mentioned love that we love things other than people. Sometimes we say that we love our stuff. We love our house. We love our car. We love our cell phone. We love sports. We love football. We love track. We love whatever, basketball, soccer. A different kind of love. And then we say we love to do things. We love to swim. We love to play golf. We love to hunt and fish, not at the same time maybe, but we need to hunt. We love to hunt. We love to fish. We love to sit in our recliners. I love to do that. Anybody else? And the older you get, the more precious that becomes to me. We love to take care of our yard. So, you know, none of these things are an inaccurate use of the word love. I mean, you can find these in the dictionary. But I think sometimes when we think about all these facets of love, I think sometimes it kind of clouds our perception or our remembrance of who God is. God's love is perfect. His love is eternal. As a matter of fact, Scripture says it's the only love that's everlasting. God's love. 1 Corinthians 13, it's the only love that's always patient. It's the only love that's always kind. It's the only love that never keeps a record of wrong, and it's God's love. And I'm really having a hard time wrapping my mind around some of the aspects of his love this morning. I'm going to do my best to communicate what I think I know, and you guys are way ahead of me, so I don't want to drag you backwards. So if I say something, I don't know about that, Billy. Well, just ignore it, and we'll move on together. But that was actually funny. But you know, God's love—it's just hard for us to wrap our mind around. 1 John 4 actually said that God is love. God is love. He's not an example of love. He's not the epitome of love. He's not the essence of love. He is love, just as he is holy. And that's hard for us to comprehend. And I believe that everything that he is motivated to do, and I don't even want to use the word motivated because it sounds like he can be unmotivated, but he's not. But everything that he's motivated to do flows from his attributes. His holiness motivates him to do things. His love motivates him to do things. John 3:16 is a good example of that. For God so loved, what did he do? He sent his son so that you and I could have eternal life. He was motivated by love, and he acted out of that motivation, out of that attribute. 1 John 4:10, there'll be a number of scriptures on the screen. I apologize to those who were looking for sermon notes this morning and didn't find them. You know me and sermon notes. I just don't do well with those. But you do have a sermon note sheet that you can take notes if you'd like to. 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is not love, that we love God. Love is that he loved us, but we get to express his love to other people as it flows out of us as children of God. It's impossible for God to not love. It's impossible for him. It's impossible for him to do anything that's unloving. And the only reason you and I can love is because he first loved us. Are you tracking with me? Say amen. Amen. Even if you're not, please say amen. That'll make me feel better. So I've got a lot of stuff to cover this morning. Hopefully it'll make sense. And we need to ask the Lord to help us this morning. So pray with me. God, I thank you for this opportunity to be together. I thank you, God, for your love for us. And Lord, I pray that we walk away this morning with a better understanding, a deeper appreciation maybe for the love that you have for us. And Lord, help us to grow in you through the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's three aspects of his love I want to share this morning. The first one is that his love is a pursuing love. His love is a pursuing love. Isaiah 65, verses 1 and 2. God says through Isaiah the prophet, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I, here am I. All day long, I have held my hands out to an obstinate people. So God says through the prophet that he revealed himself to people who didn't even know he existed. They weren't looking for him. They didn't ask for him, but he revealed himself to them as well. Now, we're talking about the nation of Israel, but I believe that we can use this scripture as an indication of him pursuing mankind, pursuing you, pursuing me. He goes on to say, I was found by those who did not seek me. They weren't even looking for him, but they found him because maybe he revealed himself in such a way. Maybe they just stumbled over him. I don't know if you've ever been walking around and you just look down and you happen to see something that's maybe valuable and you stop and pick it up. You didn't know you were looking for that. You just found it. My son was leaving Lowe's one day, walked out to the parking lot. He looks down. There's a $100 bill sitting by his vehicle. He wasn't looking for a $100 bill. But he picked it up, by the way, which I would have done as well, and used it. But he stumbled across it, and he found it, but he wasn't really looking for it. Does that make sense? And I think sometimes that is the way it is with God. He is so holy, A.W. Tozer says, that if he did not reveal himself to us, we couldn't find him. He's just on another level, church. He's on another level. And he says, to a nation that did not call on my name, he says, here am I, here am I. It's like, I'm over here. Israel, here I am. Do you see me? I'm trying to reveal myself to you. Over here. And then he says, all day long I've held my hands out to an obstinate people. It's almost like it's a constant effort by the Lord to basically expose himself to people. Drawing people to himself, wooing people to himself, revealing himself, allowing himself to be found all day long, maybe. I've held my hands out to an obstinate people. Let's look at John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on the last day. The only way that we can connect with Jesus is by this pursuing, loving, drawing of the Lord. Jesus himself said that. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. God is in relentless pursuit of mankind. And he reveals himself to his creation in a number of ways. In the Psalms, Scripture says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Day and night they pour forth speech. I don't know what the heavens are saying, but it's almost like God's up there. Look up here. Here I am. Do you see me? I want to have a relationship with you. I believe with every sunrise, every sunset, every star-filled night, every change of season, every birth of an infant, every unexplained blessing, God is pursuing his creation in which he took pleasure in creating. He is that good, church, to do that. Otherwise, we couldn't find him. We couldn't connect with him. I guess in a sense, God's a stalker. He really is. He shows up places that, you know, he kind of follows us around, and, you know, we can't arrest God, but, you know, he's a stalker. I mean, we go to the grocery store, and these are just possible scenarios. We go to the grocery store, and he reveals himself through a kind word, maybe a smile. Maybe we see a young mother that has this new infant, and something stirs inside of us. And so maybe God's revealing himself at the grocery store. And so that could be HEB, Sam's, or Market Street. And then let's say we leave the store, we drive straight to the gas pump, and he's there as well. Somebody next to us, some weird person's got some Christian music going in their car. And so there he is again. And then we go to our jobs, and somebody's having a conversation, and he reveals himself through that conversation. God's a stalker. A holy stalker, and I'm grateful for that. Because I'm not very intelligent. I need him to reveal himself to me. You know, I went to school, elementary school at Fannin Elementary. I was a Fannin Warrior. Any Fannin Warriors in the room? No Fannin Warriors? Where'd you go to school? Johnston Jaguar. Closest school to me outside of Fannin. If I'd have lived one block over, I'd have went to school with you. But I didn't, so I'll move on. But anyway, Fannin Warrior, and there was this little girl, cute little girl named Joyce, who I think I had her. We were in the same grade, but I think I had her in every class. And man, I was madly in love with this little girl. First grade, I knew it, that her and I were going to be married someday. And, of course, I'm married to Carlene. You guys know that didn't work out well for me. But anyway, I was irritating because I wanted her to know how I felt about her. And I was a stalker. I'm just going to be honest. And doing goofy things that kids do, like making armpit noises, you know, just to try to get her attention, make her think a lot of me. And so she'd be on this side of the class, and I would move over there by her, and she'd be over here, and I'd go over here, and then she would go eat lunch, and I would try to sit close to her. And that went on for 5 years. And then in the fifth grade, Valentine's Day, I'll never forget it. We were passing out Valentine cards that we, you know, everybody had a Valentine card for their classmates. And I can't remember how the teacher did it, but he didn't want it to be chaotic. And I think he took each row of desk and had those students distribute theirs. The next row did theirs, then the next row. And I'm sitting, and Joyce is up. She's moving around the room. And, man, I'm just waiting for this Valentine card. And she comes up, and she slaps it down on my desk. And so I'm going to open it up, and I know it's going to have a big heart that says, "Be mine." I know without a doubt that's what it's going to say. And so I open it up, and there's this picture of an elephant. Now, back then, I wasn't slim and trim like I am now. I was a chunky kid. You know, if you went to buy blue jeans back in that day, they had your size, but then they also had slim, regular, and husky. And I was a husky kid. Now, I didn't want to be a husky kid. I wanted to be either slim and regular, but it never worked out for me. But I was husky. Man, I wasn't built for speed back in that day. Cody, I was built for throwing things, which there's a place for those people, right, that can throw things. And so it broke my heart. And, you know, I was fine. 12 years of counseling later, I'm doing good, you know, but it didn't bother me that much. But you know what? That day, my pursuit of her ended. It was over because she rejected me. In church, I'm so grateful that when we reject the Lord, the pursuit's not over. So grateful for that. And when we give our lives to Christ, the pursuit doesn't stop there. It continues. You know, we forget who we are sometimes in him. We forget that his love does not wane. We forget that he never leaves us or forsakes us. We forget that we are chosen by him, precious to him. So the pursuit continues, and he continues to reveal himself to us through preaching, teaching, kind words, through prayer. And I'm grateful for that. God is a pursuing God, and his love is a pursuing love. Second thing, his love is a jealous love. His love is a jealous love. You know, there's some things that are really confusing to me about Scripture, about who God is. Him being a jealous God is one of those things. So I'm going to do my best to unpack this morning. I'm going to get a little help from a couple of people. Sam Storms is one of them. Ray Ortland's another. And it helped me get a little further down the road as far as understanding this. But it's a strange subject. Strange thing for us to think about God being a jealous God, that His love is jealous. Because when we think about jealousy, we think of that in negative terms, right? I mean, I don't know anybody like this, but I've heard stories that there may be a husband that may be so jealous of his wife, and it's basically he doesn't trust her anywhere. So he's operating out of his own insecurity, and he's just eaten up with jealousy. It could be something as simple as us being jealous of other people's relationships. We may have a band of friends, and two of them kind of pair up, and they're really chummy. And then we get a little jealous about the relationship that they might have. We can be jealous of someone's success, and this jealousy is described in Galatians 5 as sinful. It's the deeds of the flesh, or the fruit of the flesh, and then Paul goes on to mention the fruit of the Spirit. So jealousy is perceived as something negative, but a holy jealousy is incredibly precious. God refers to Himself as jealous. It's not that we're calling Him that. He refers to Himself as jealous in Exodus 34:14. It says, "Do not worship any other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God." God is jealous. But we say, well, what does He have to be jealous about? You know, He's not being threatened by anybody. God doesn't need His ego stroked. So what's He jealous about or jealous for? Let's look at Ezekiel 39:25. Maybe this will help. Tracking with me, Lee? Thank you. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name." Jealous, God is jealous for His name. God's jealous for His reputation, even though His reputation can never change. And He's not worried about His reputation. I want to read something by Sam Storms and Ray Ortland that might help us. "For what then is God jealous? ? God is most jealous for His own glory, His fame and honor. God desires above all else that His name be preserved and promoted, and He will act quickly and powerfully to vindicate His glory." I love that. "The jealousy of the Lord," Ray Ortland writes, "is His profoundly intense drive within to protect the interests of His own glory, for He will submit to no weakening of His majesty." God can't help but to be jealous for who He is. And He's jealous for our benefit. For our benefit. And His jealousy can come across as blessing or curse. Let's look at Exodus 20:4-6. "You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands of generations to those that love me and keep my commandments." So God is a jealous God. And out of His jealousy, He allows the sins of the fathers to be passed down through three and four generations. This isn't always the case, but we may see someone who struggles with alcoholism. And this is, again, this isn't always the case, but maybe perhaps a parent struggled with that. It may be perhaps their parents, one of their parents struggled with that, and so forth and so on. And so God, through His jealousy, He allows those things to happen. But at the same time, because He's jealous, He shows loving kindness to a thousand generations to those who love Him and keep His commandments. He's jealous for His nature and name and jealous for His creation, so much so that He will either bless or He will curse. Something J.I. Packer wrote in the book, Knowing God. I'm pulling out the heavyweights this morning because I'm struggling to understand this. God's jealousy is not a compound of frustration, envy, and spite, as human jealousy so often is, but appears instead as a praiseworthy zeal to preserve something supremely precious. Divine jealousy is thus a zeal to protect a love relationship or to avenge it when it is broken. I'm glad that God is faithful to us. I'm glad that He's faithful when we go after other spiritual lovers, so to speak. You know, I'm of the mindset that my salvation is secure. I'm secure in Christ because I'm trusting Him till I draw my last breath for my salvation. Jesus is able to save completely those who are in Him. And you may lose your salvation. God bless you. I'm not going to lose mine because of the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross. So when I go and I chase other lovers, spiritual lovers, the jealousy of the Lord, He doesn't divorce me. He doesn't say, Billy, it's over. He chases after me. And He restores that relationship. Whatever it takes, He is that jealous for us. He'll do whatever it takes for us to experience Him in His fullness. That's what He wants for us. He wants nothing less for us. That's why He's jealous. His love is a jealous love. And the third aspect of His love that I want to cover is His love is an everlasting love. Everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with an unfailing kindness. In Psalm 136:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Like I said at the outset, you know, Carly and I, we love each other. We do. And we're committed for the long haul. And I'm just going to be honest. You might find this hard to believe. Some days I'm not very lovable. That probably would shock you to know that, but it's true. She's always so stinking sweet. I mean, my goodness, sometimes she makes me sick. She's so sweet. But anyway, don't tell her I said that. But, you know, I believe Scripture teaches that at some point our love for each other is going to cease to exist. And I believe that's when both of us step into eternity. You know, Jesus was approached one time by some religious leaders, and they threw out this bizarre scenario to Him. They're trying to trip Him up. And they said, let's say that there is a man and a woman that's married, and he dies, and then Jewish law says that the next brother takes her in, marries her as well to keep her from being destitute and just to honor her by doing that. And this family had seven brothers, so she marries all seven she marries, and all seven of them die. And then she dies. This is a bizarre scenario. And they said, who will she be married to in heaven? Good question. I mean, she's had seven husbands. Is it the first one? Is it the last one? And Jesus says, you don't understand the Scriptures or the power of God. He says, when we step into eternity, there will not be marriage or giving in marriage. So I believe when Carlene and I, when we both transition to eternity, then our love for each other will cease to exist because all of our focus is on Him. And we are in love with Him. We're His bride. And the relationship that we have will be, we're co-heirs with Christ. Everybody okay with that? Okay. So I love my wife, and you know, the command for me is to love her as much as Christ loves the church. I can't shirk that duty. That's what I need to do. As long as we're together on this side of eternity, that's what I need to do. But when we step on the other side, all the focus is on Him. Therefore, His love is the only love that endures forever. Only love that endures forever. I want to do a little exercise with you guys. I think it's healthy for us to declare His love being everlasting, His love enduring forever. So I'm going to read some out of Psalm 136, and Psalm 136 is a liturgical psalm, and the leader reads a phrase, and then the congregation repeats after that, "His love endures forever." Do y'all want to try that? Okay. Now I have shortened this, plus I've taken the liberty, and I might need to repent for this later, of adding some other things to this that may be a little more applicable to us in our day. So let's try that. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. All right, let's declare it, church. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. He who does great wonders. He who by understanding made the heavens. He spread out the earth upon the waters. He made the great lights in heaven. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt. He brought Israel out from among them. He divided the Red Sea. He led his people through the wilderness. He gave his people their inheritance. Oh, I love this. He remembered us in our lowest state. He freed us from the enemy. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. Even though I am sick in my body, even though my bank account is low, even though relationships are strained, even during pandemics, even during wars and rumors of wars, even though life is difficult, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Do you believe that, church? Amen. Amen. Such a good, loving God. Have the praise team go ahead and come up. His love is a pursuing love. He loves jealously with an everlasting love. Let's go to the Lord and thank him for that. Father, I thank you for your love. Your love that's beyond comprehension. God, I've just got to believe that there are some of us in this room that are struggling with the concept of you loving us maybe exactly where we're at. Father, you love 100% all the time. You love us no more or no less today than you did 2 years ago. And 2 years from now, you will love us no more or no less than you do today. I just thank you that your love is constant. Your love is consistent. And Lord, we just need to be better receivers of your love. And Lord, when we receive your love, help us not to be selfish and hold on to it. Help us to share your love. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us be all that the Father wants us to be. All that Jesus saved us to be. And thank you for loving us. Oh, you're incredibly jealous for us. Thank you for your holy jealousy. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able, I'm going to invite you to stand as we continue to worship the Lord.
Baby.
love, church? Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise for his love. If you were visiting with us this morning and took the time to fill out a visitor's card, we would like to know about your visit. You can leave your card in your seat. You can put it in one of the offering boxes by the exits. I will be out by the main entrance. I'd love to meet you out there. Also, after the service, we'll have Robert and Debbie Mills praying up front. And, you know, typically we have 4 to 6 prayer requests circulate through the office on a weekly basis. This last week we had almost 20. And so there's just a lot of illness going around, a lot of stuff that people are struggling with. So if you need prayer for anything, please seek one of these two out. But if you're sick this morning, or you know someone that is sick, you would like prayer for them, please visit with Robert and Debbie, and let's take that to the Lord. Church, have an awesome day. Enjoy the love of God this day.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do 4 things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.